Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, January 19th, the year of our Lord, 2025. And this is the second Sunday after the Epiphany. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray you are well. And I pray that this time together will be a time of renewal and healing and revitalization. A time where we can reflect on God's good word and allow it to do its healing work in our lives. And so with that in mind, let's begin in the way that has become our custom and practice here on the podcast. We begin by celebrating what is good and giving thanks to God for all good things. And we'll begin with the simple and profound act of taking in a deep breath. So let's do that together. And hold on to that breath. Savor it. It's a gift. And let it go. And take in another one. And hold on to that. And like every good gift, we let it go. And as you continue to breathe and seek peace and quiet, I encourage you to call to mind the people and the places, the opportunities, the situations that light you up inside, that fill you with joy. These things that you can name as gifts. And as you call them to mind, thank God for each and every one of them. For the gifts of life and love and family and faith. For the storms you've endured. For the opportunities that are just over the horizon. Give thanks to God for all of it. Perhaps turn your face toward the heavens. Maybe even let a smile come to your face. And as you breathe, and as you turn your face to the sky, thank you, Lord. Thanks be to God. And in this spirit of thanksgiving, let's begin together in worship. Let's join together in the call to worship as printed in the digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin over to the left margin and then just down below the line of where you found today's podcast. You'll see an area that says sermon notes. Just click in there and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Come, all who thirst for the living water, all who hunger for the bread of life. We come to feast, invited by the one who turns water into wine. In Christ, the ordinary is made extraordinary, and grace overflows in abundance. We celebrate the epiphany of God's glory, revealed through signs of love and mercy. Let us lift our hearts in worship to the God of miracles and endless grace. With joy and gratitude, we praise the one who brings new life to us all. Amen. Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of John in the second chapter, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to me and to you? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the person in charge of the banquet." So they took it. When the person in charge tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, that person called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of your word, alive and living among us. And we pray you would abide with us in this time of prayer and reflection, that we could truly hear what it is you are saying to us through this, your good and living word. Save us from misinterpretation and distraction so that we can hear you and we can respond to you in faith. We ask all of this in your holy name and we say, Amen. Well, friends, here we are, a little bit over halfway through the month of January, this second Sunday in the Sundays after the Epiphany. And over the next several weeks, we'll get these readings that give us a glimpse of who Jesus is and why he's come. And John invites us to a wedding at Cana in Galilee and allows us to sit alongside the mother of Jesus. And Jesus and his disciples, as they gather for feast and celebration in this little town, Cana of Galilee, friends and family gathered to enjoy this wedding feast, and not only in support of the bride and groom, but in support of one another, recognizing that in the midst of the hard work, in the mundane stuff of everyday life, there needs to be feast and celebration. And so they're doing just that until a moment happens where the wine gave out. And as John tells us, that word reaches the mother of Jesus. Mary learns about this, and she knows she's sitting next to someone who can clearly do something about it. This one who is the Word made flesh, the one who will bring grace upon grace, her son. And I love this. The more I read it, it's simple. And then if you let it sink into you and use your imagination, when Mary says to Jesus, they have no wine. And then imagine that look. Maybe there's someone in your life that can give you that look that says, you need to do something about this. They have no wine. And we know he's getting that look because there's no other discussion. They have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what concern is that to me and to you? My hour has not yet come. They have no wine. Implied in that look, and you need to do something about it. Completely convicted by that look, Jesus says, what is that to you and to me? We're just guests here. I know what's coming. I have exorcisms to perform. I will raise the dead. The blind will see. The lame will walk. This is not the time for that. So Mary has spoken what she needs to speak to Jesus, and so she turns that same look to the servants. Stern look that says much more than she's going to speak with her mouth. Do whatever he tells you. There are no dummies. So they take action. Jesus knows that he needs to address this. Through his mother's concern, he knows this is something that he needs to do. And so standing there are these ritual jars, water jars, for the purification rituals. Very significant. So they fill these jars up. These are big jars, 20, 30-gallon jars, and they're all filled to the brim, up to the top. So they fill the jars with water. And then another command from Jesus. Now draw some out. Take it to the person in charge of the banquet. They do just that. They take it to the chief steward. The steward tastes it. It's the most amazing wine that he's ever tasted. And then he's a little confused, like, did we get something wrong? Were we supposed to serve this first? Because he gets the bridegroom over and says, everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you've kept the good wine until now. Brilliance of John. Chapter 1 sets up chapter 2. Like any good author would do, but you see the little references, the moments where he indicates grace upon grace, the one who is the Word made flesh, the one who's in the beginning, who creates all things, all manner of things, and including the best wine you ever had. All of that is present in the telling of this story in chapter 2, which then sets up other stories in chapter 3. And then we get to the end of the gospel and realize that chapters 1 and the end of the gospel, all of this connection, all of it about abundant healing grace in the presence of Jesus. And what is John's hope for us as we read the story upon story, are immersed in grace upon grace? His disciples believed in him. And then they told the stories to others, and they believed in him. And now we stand here on the 19th day of January, the year of our Lord, 2025, and we tell the story of a little wedding feast in a little town that most of us couldn't find on a map. And we're called to believe in him. And we're called to read this story, read the narrative. What does it say about Jesus? What does it say about us? What does it say about our relationship to Jesus? Who is he and why has he come? How can I see myself in this story? Are there moments in my life where in very practical ways or metaphorically I can say to myself or to somebody next to me, they have no wine? And if wine is not just wine, if wine is peace, if wine is joy, if wine is prosperity, and if I can look at a family situation, if I can look at a business situation or a gathering of people and make the assessment, they have no wine. That's a crisis. That's a crisis that can be averted if we fix our eyes on Jesus and we do what he tells us. If we take out the purification, get that jar out and fill it up and drink from the deep grace of the wells of purification, it becomes in us a rich, wonderful wine. In the words of Bishop Robert Barron, it becomes for us an intoxication of grace. And that sometimes things happen out of order. In the life of Jesus, things come, the expected comes in the midst of the unexpected comes in the midst of the expected. Good wine, peace, joy, prosperity, hope seems to come from nowhere. A few people know. The ones who are trying to serve it in abundance to the world. And as I'm preaching, I'm struck with this thought from the words of the chief steward, the one responsible for the feast. Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. Are we drinking sometimes? How much inferior wine are we drinking? Did we drink good wine at first and then get lost in the intoxication of the good wine to the point where we didn't appreciate the good wine the way we ought to, and so we've come to accept inferior wine? And at some point, does that inferior wine just run out? And we're left with nothing but a headache and a sense of despair. John calls us to pay attention that Jesus is serving good wine in abundance. That the life of faith is to hear the voice of a dear and faithful friend, to hear the voice of the Virgin Mother that says, do whatever he tells you. There's wine in abundance. And I know sometimes it's really hard to imagine that that's true. But we need to stand in the presence to work on these practices of holiness. That is, to read our Bible, to pray as best you can, to find yourself in a community of faithful people, walking the walk, trying their best just like you, gathered at the same feast and celebration as you are, where sometimes we're concerned that the wine has run out and we find that sometimes the best way to respond to that is to find good wine and give it away. There's so much to feast on here at this wedding at Cana. And when we do, we find it is overflowing with grace and good news, to which I say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Jesus and Mary and Joseph, God of saints and sinners alike, we call to you and we pray and we confess that we fall short, that we fail to do what you tell us to do, that we seek to live by our own rules in our own way. But in this moment, O God, we come back to you. We turn our eyes toward you, and we seek the promise of our faith that when we confess our sin to you, you intervene. You heal us. You offer us grace upon grace. And so faithfully and humbly we seek to receive that grace and be restored by it so that we could tell the world about it. And we pray over this, your good world. We pray over the United States of America as she will inaugurate a new president. We pray over ministries of justice and reconciliation as we recognize and honor the life and ministry of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Help us to continue that work according to your will and according to your way. Bless people in positions of power and influence. Help them to hear the words of Mary, do whatever he tells you. And you know us. You know the things that light us up inside, the things we celebrate and anticipate this week, and the things that are deeply troubling and concerning to us. People we pray for, situations that need some kind of reconciliation, divine intervention. And so we take a moment during this time of prayer to simply be quiet and still, to sit in your presence and focus our minds on you and pray that you'll meet us here and bless us with a sense of your presence and the sound of your voice. Meet us here, we pray. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We celebrate a gift you gave us, a prayer. Prayer that goes by your name. Hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, let us do so in the sure and certain knowledge that the grace of God is with us. Our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.